So I will talk today about the project that I started last summer, and that's TRX control or transceiver control. It's a, in my opinion, modern approach, client-server approach, about controlling amateur radio transceivers and other hardware devices like GPIO devices, rotators for antennas, relays, and to integrate third-party software systems like, for example, the DX cluster or SOTA cluster or querying the QRZ database. Quite some amount of my work time has gone into this project, but let's start at the start. It started actually at the SSB Field Day last summer, and we were contesting in Switzerland, in our nice club station of Hotel Bravo 9 Alpha Golf. And we had this setup where there was always one operator and one helper. And to the right you see Hotel Bravo 9 Echo Yankee Hotel. She sits here. And she was mostly taking notes about the call signs that we heard. And I was operating the radio. So we had during this day lots of barbecues, talks, and having quite some fun, and we got ranked fourth out of seven stations, so it was not too bad. But that was where we had this idea that this setup was not so optimal for contesting. And we were, normally we do search and pounds, so you're listening to the frequencies, and when you hear a station, you pounce in, you try to make the contact, or the other operating mode is you're running, so you're calling CQ, 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 until somebody replies, and then you make the contact. And what we were thinking while discussing what we are doing here is, why do we run or search and pounce? Wouldn't it make sense to search and run or pounce? So do it a bit different. And that's where we had this idea. If we had a central point where we could control the receivers, then we could probably have one station that listens to the spectrum. And whenever it finds someone who is running, he taps on his touch screen, and it will enter this frequency and operating mode into a waiting queue. So we have a search station that is just tuning the bands and enters hertz stations into a queue. And then we have the run or pounce station that sees this waiting queue and can tap on a frequency, and it will tune the transceiver to this frequency, and he can try to operate this station. And of course the contest logging software in an ideal world would also be connected to this central system, this transceiver control. And when we have this, we can also have a big display for bystanders, with whom are we in QSO, on which frequency are we operating, because when we are contesting, we have a camper, big camper, and we always make this a little bit of happening, so we have visitors coming by and we talk them into what we're doing here, so such a display would be nice. So what we want to try out next time is a setup with multiple transceivers and with stations that just listen, stations that operate. So what we need at the very core of this system is something universal that can control our devices. And we have transceivers, we have GPIO pins to control relays, the rotors of our antenna. We have a 20 meter mast and maybe antenna switches, maybe extensions or whatever. So in the beginning, I wanted this to be as universal as possible. So We have at the core something that is called TRXD, D for daemon, and the number 8, that's the manual page where it's documented in Linux. And we have various clients to the bottom. That could be PCs, that could be whatever, that could be a mobile phone with an application, with an app on it. And we have the hardware, the relays, we have GPIOs, we have the antenna routers, and of course, we have the transceivers. So the basic idea was to have a clearinghouse for all these, for controlling all these devices in a common language. And most modern transceivers can be controlled by software, but IAESU uses its own system, Kenwood uses a different system, and of course ICOM has another system too. So you cannot use one system to control them all. You have to write something. So what we do here, this is a more schematic diagram. We want to have this daemon that can be connected over TCP/IP, and then we can talk to this daemon and instruct him in a common language what we want to do with that and that receiver. And these commands shall be uniform for each transceiver, so it is one of the jobs of the TRX control system to convert those common commands into the device-specific commands needed, for example, to operate a IAESU transceiver. And we thought it would be nice if we could also connect to this system using WebSockets. That makes it super easy to contact it from JavaScript or from Flutter or from any other language system. So basically plain sockets and WebSockets. So, and what you see on this diagram, you see what TRX control is not. It is not a software with a user interface like Hamlib Delix or something like this. It is really meant as being the controlling part of, or at the center of your shack automation, and not a client to operate the radios. So the clients are not part of TRX control, besides a few example clients. So TRXD accepts requests from the clients and controls the devices. And the interesting part, or one interesting aspect, changes in the operating system are detected and are sent to the clients if they wish so. They can subscribe to events and then they will receive frequency changes or new DX cluster spots or whatever. And we can do this for transceivers that are by themselves capable of sending status updates, but we can also do it for all the transceivers that cannot do it, like the IAESU FT817, by means of polling. So this really works nice with all the transceivers I have. So what are the goals? The main goal was to create something that is modular and extensible, that is more of a solid framework than a complete program, but something that can be easily extended by yourself. So it should be easy, and it is easy, to add new classes of devices. Like one day I decided to add GPIOs. That was relatively easy. And it should be very simple to add new drivers for new transceivers. Of course, I don't own all the transceivers that are around there, but if somebody has a certain transceiver, it should be easy for him to add a driver for this transceiver. And the system is designed to be extensible from the ground up, and it has a complete documentation. So, unlike other systems, TRX control doesn't need a recompilation of the whole system if you add a new driver. That's because you see it on the right, it has this big Lua logo. So at the heart of TRX control is a lot of Lua, which is a easy to learn and yet very powerful programming language. So that's what it is. An open software design that's extensible and that uses accepted standards like the WebSockets, like TCP/IP, IPv6, and programming languages that are proven, like Lua. So the core is written in C of TRX control. And I didn't want to just use C for everything. So, and I already integrated a lot of languages into C code in the past, and I had a variety of choices which language to use. So I looked at Tickle, at Perl, Python, Java, and so on. And we had experience with all these languages, but we looked carefully at which language to use from this choice. And we came to Lua for very good reasons. Lua is the Lua virtual machine is very, very small. It's like 128 kilobytes of binary code. And one Lua state uses approximately 64 kilobytes of memory. So even if you're writing a system that runs many, many, many Lua virtual machines in parallel, it will not eat up a lot of money, memory. And if it doesn't need too much memory, it doesn't need too much money for the computer, and it can run on a Raspberry Pi. So writing those new drivers is done in an easy-to-master scripting language named Lua. And as of today, it supports, it's not complete, this list. It's more transceivers, it supports more IAESU transceivers. I didn't update the list. And ICOM, and it supports, it will support the QDX from QRP Labs, and probably Kenwood transceivers, because they use the same protocol as the QDX does. So we're constantly working on adding new drivers. I had some American guy who added a driver for some rigs, and this is now very easy because these drivers written in Lua, they mostly describe these days what are the operating modes, what is the frequency range of the transceiver, what's the name of the transceiver, and the protocol being used for IAESU or for ICOM is factored out. So you describe your transceiver, and probably that's all you have to do. If it's a new kind of transceiver, then you have to write the protocol converter too. But this is technical, and you can go have a look at GitHub. There's the code. It's all open source under the MIT license. And we're here to help if you get stuck writing a new driver. So what about audio? Wouldn't it be nice if I could transport the audio as well, so that maybe on my mobile device I can select my transceiver and then listen to the audio and remote control it? This is actually at the moment not part of the software, but I think for audio processing we can use Pipewire on Linux, and for the streaming maybe Pulse Audio. So I put a question mark there. I'm not so familiar with Pulse Audio, but I think this could be a way, and this will be some experimentation to be done in the next months. So that's what it is. It's a system to control your devices in a uniform language. And maybe let's look at a few implementation details, so how it's roughly done. It uses a multi-threaded approach, so if there's a lot of things to do, it will use all the CPU cores. and it has asynchronous execution. That means it can do a lot of things in parallel. It supports for the connection-wise IPv4, and more important IPv6, and of course TLS, transport layer security. The core is written in C because writing multi-threaded code correctly is not so easy as one might think. There's a lot of synchronization issues that could arise if you do it wrong. So all the thread control and synchronization logic and everything, and firing up of the Lua virtual machines and firing up of the various threads that comprise the whole system, that's written in C. And you can connect over IP and web sockets. I already mentioned that. And the protocol is JSON-based, JavaScript object notation. So all you have to do is to compose a JSON message with a request. For example, set frequency to 14,285,000 hertz, and send it to TRX control and route it to the transceiver you want. It has been developed for Linux and on Linux, but it can be used, funny enough, on Windows too, using Windows services for Linux, which means it runs on Linux. And of course, it can be Dockerized, containerized. It can run in a Docker container, so you can run it basically on any system you want. It's developed in the open on GitHub, and as I mentioned, it's under the MIT license. So how does it look with when you connect to the system? We have TRXD, which when everything is set up, it will listen to connections from a client. And when a client connects, it will start a thread. That's a socket handler that will communicate with the client. And whenever it receives a message from the client, it will send it to a dispatcher. The dispatcher looks where he has to route this message to. He will send it to a device controller, for a hardware device, which will talk to a driver, the blue part that's written in Lua. And this driver will talk to the device to do whatever is required. It can also talk to extensions. I have written several extensions, for example, to query the QRZ database or to see cluster spots in real time. So the idea is I see a cluster spot, I can tap on this entry on the touch screen. It will tune my transceiver to this. It can look up the call sign, so on. And then eventually the driver gives back a response in a device-specific format, which will convert it by the driver to an internal format. The dispatcher will finally send back to the client a reply also in JSON format. So all you have to understand in a client is JSON. And the drivers will convert these uniform requests to the format that the transceiver uses, like CAT for Yaesu or Kenwood or CIV for ICOM. And the same thing is done with the return value. They are converted from the device-specific format into a generalized format and sent back as JSON replies. For example, frequency in this system is always in hertz, no matter what the transceiver uses. Many use 10 hertz steps, but here a frequency is always in hertz. It looks very similar in the WebSocket case. When you listen for WebSocket connections, there will be a WebSocket listener thread. And when a client connects, for example, a browser with JavaScript, then it will set up the same scenario as it does for plain IP sockets. It's just a little bit different, the handling of web sockets. They have an underlying protocol and a framing protocol, so they can detect when the other side goes out of business, and they can automatically reconnect. But otherwise, it's the very same. And each of these boxes, they stand for a thread. As I said, it's multi-threaded, so these things, they all run in parallel. It's not a sequence first. It takes this, then it calls a subroutine, then it calls another subroutine. But this is all in parallel on the machine. So the hard part was to get the synchronization right. Yeah, this is these are a few implementation details. When you want to dig deeper or see what it is, there is a website, of course. The website has flyers. We also have flyers at the amateur radio booth. And of course, there's GitHub with lots of information and the complete source code. Of course, I'm looking for people to support the project. I'd be happy if Linux users test it. There's now ready-made binary packages for almost any distribution that you can very easily install. Software developer could write drivers or new clients or extensions. Manufacturers, dealers, importers, they could provide us with hardware. They actually already did. I got my ICOM this way. And material support or whatever can always be helpful, or buy us coffee. And so far we've been supported by my company, which shelled out a lot of working time and buys equipment. And LixNet, they supported us with the ICOM. So this is how we developed. We have, of course, everything in Git. We develop on Alma Linux. And when we push to GitHub. But not only, we push to an internal GitLab server as well to have a continuous integration and deployment pipeline so that we build the packages for all the various Linux distributions. You find all that matters on trx-control.msys.ch. There's a matrix room, and there is a GitHub project, obviously. And that's at the end of my presentation, but that's not the end of what I wanted to say, because wait, I need to synchronize the screens. During the development, I got in contact with Sylvain Azarian, and during the last, I think, months, I can say, not weeks, it's months already, we discussed a lot about various things among SDR, and he is obviously an SDR expert, and with Marcos too. And so I learned a lot about software-defined radio, and doing this together with Marcos and with Sylvain, so made me think about what could we do with SDR in terms of TRX control. And there is a wiki on GitHub where I put together the ideas what we could do so that in the future TRX control could also be an SDR system. So this is where everything comes together. So we need a few more threads. It will probably not as easy as it is listed here, but one thread to gather the samples, then each receiver will be a thread, and then we could probably even attach Whisper to a decoded audio signal to get the transcript of what's being set there in text. So this is the future. As you see, I have plans with it, and this means that's it. Thank you very much.